Greece. They've traveled to be with us tonight. And they've made some other stops. But we thank the Lord for them being here this evening. I thought we had a screen, but some of you may want to move to this side of the church so that you can see the presentation a lot better if you can't see it where you're at. So get comfortable so where you can see what's going on in their work in Greece and other venues as God blesses them tonight. So at this time, we'll turn it over to Brother George.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. I'm honored to be in your church. My wife, Louisa,
yeah,
and she will turn on the video. If you cannot see, you can come right here. But before we just go into the video presentation, I just want to thank you for giving to the Lord and thank you for praying for us. Yeah. It's also an honor that Brother Jim always informs us. He will call me every week or every other week, you know, whenever he gets me home, and he gives me a fine detail. He's telling me the sermon and the points and the songs and everything. And I love him so much that I have opened my heart with certain prayer requests that we have not even mentioned to others. And we thank you that his son, who is a pastor, Pastor Don, and Miss Michelle is in the back with us from Serenity Baptist Church. But we praise the Lord what God is doing in your church. Now, this video somewhere stops in 2005, 2006. I just want to give you a little information, and then my wife will turn it on. And this is the Greek ministry, and the Greek people is the slowest people in the world coming to know Christ. For in the New Testament times, they were the most receptive to the gospel. But God has opened many doors for us, especially in the past year. Well, we are in a refuge center, and I'm sure Brother Jim informs you. And as of today, they had the first Arabic service. The Arabs don't respond to the gospel that easy because they're Muslim. But now we have an Arabic church as well in a church. And we have an English service in a church and a Greek preaching in our church. You will see in one of the slides here, his kind of a marble statue of the Apostle Andrew. We don't know what he looked like, but be it as it may, the American and the British Museum archaeologists, they have excavated and they have found Andrew's bones and his tomb, and there now they have an Orthodox church. The Orthodox church moved in and they have taken over the fact, but he was crucified in an egg-shaped cross, and there is remnants of the cross as well. As the past 2 or 3 years, we have a church there as well, a Greek-speaking Baptist church, the meeting in a home, and the minister also comes in my absence and ministers in Athens as well. By God's grace, we have started a church in the island of Zakynthos, where Pastor Don had visited us, and we ordained Brother Taki. But the thing is here, we are, Greece has become the gateway of all the Muslim nations that come through Greece to come to Europe and Americas. And when they come to Greece, there is not Islamic centers to accommodate them. So they come to our refuge center for a bowl of food, and they are destitute, and they hear the gospel of Christ. So now we have an Arabic church, we have an Iranian Baptist church, we have an Iranian Bible Baptist Institute that we train former Iranian Muslims, and we send them out. And Brother Jim has brought it into your, as a prayer request. Now we have a minister in Paris. And there is over 100,000 Iranian Muslims in Paris. And they have the legal papers to stay. And we want to spear out an outreach. And also in Vancouver, a man that we trained in Athens in the past year since we were here. We've trained him, and he's over in Vancouver and started a church, a Baptist church in Vancouver, Canada. A lot of great things are happening. Amen. And this is because I know you have been praying, and I know Brother Jim is bringing this prayer request, and we are excited what the Lord is doing, for Islam is spreading the world. The gospel of Christ has power unto salvation. Yes. And when we show the love of God, they come to know Christ. Enjoy the film, the video of Greece. We thank you. Maybe someday you'll take a trip and visit us in Greece. Yeah. just to fill the gap. We had 17 million that visited us in 8-9 weeks as tourists in Athens, in spite of all the turbulence. People love to see the islands, the archaeology, and to walk or all walk. So,
hi, we are George and Louisa Dimakos. God called us to serve in the land of Greece, and we are sent out by Long Island Bible Baptist Church in New York City. Hellas, or Greece, is known as the birthplace of the Western civilization, which began 4,000 years ago, known as the Minoan civilization. The Mycenaean civilization began at the closing of the Hellenic period. The Greeks developed the brightest point of their civilization, known as the Golden Age. Today, ancient temples and theaters remind us of the classical period as millions of tourists from all over the world come to Greece to see the ancient antiquities. Greece is also known as the land of the Bible. Paul, the apostle, saw the Macedonian vision in the city of Troas. And from there, Paul sailed to Greece in Neapolis. And through the Ignatian Road, Paul went to Philippi. Paul's first convert to Christianity was Lydia, by the river Zygdakis, that still flows today in Philippi. Paul and Silas were put in prison, where the Philippian jailer asked the most important question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas responded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," and a great church started, and here are the remnants of a second century basilica. Paul, through the Ignatian Road, went through Amphipolis and Apollonia, came to the city of Thessalonica, and there Paul evangelized and preached the word, and souls were saved. Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, is known for its white tower by the port and the Byzantine walls. Thessaloniki is the second largest city of Greece, with over 1 million people, and with no Baptist church. Paul continued his journey to the city of Berea, and stood on the bima, preaching the word, as the Bereans daily searched the scriptures. Paul came to the port of Methone, and he sailed to Athens. Paul witnessed daily in the marketplace, and he saw the city wholly given into idolatry, and stood on Mars Hill, and proclaimed to the Athenian philosophers that only Jesus saves and his Lord. From Athens, Paul sailed to Corinth. In the days of Paul, there was a narrow neck of land, Isthmus. Today, we have a canal that joins the Ionian and the Aegean Sea. Paul met Aquila and Priscilla at the marketplace. Together they evangelized at the shops, and many believed. Paul was brought before the governor and stood on the bima between the temple of Apollo and the fountains of Pyrene. Paul stayed in Corinth for 18 months, where he wrote the book of Romans and started a church at the port of Cenchrea. Today you see remnants of the first century church from the days of Paul. Also in Greece, the apostle Andrew evangelized for 3.5 years in the city of Patara, where he was crucified in an X-shaped cross. This church was erected in memory of Andrew. Patmos is a small Greek island in the Aegean, known as the holiest island of Christianity, where John the Apostle was in exile and wrote the book of Revelation. Greece witnessed a revival in the days of Paul, turning away from the temple and idol worship. But today, Greece has forsaken the Bible, and the Orthodox religion has brought them back into idol worship. Greece is the most religious and traditional nation in Europe. 98% are Greek Orthodox, 1% Muslim, and only 0.002% are true believers. Only 3 Greek-speaking Baptist churches, and with less than 200 Greek individuals who are Bible-believing Baptists in the whole country of Greece. The Greeks proudly say, "You are born Greek and you die Greek Orthodox." That is their slogan. To be Greek is to be Orthodox, while all others by their constitution are called heretics and non-Greeks. For 1500 years, the Orthodox Church has a stronghold in Greece and Eastern Europe. The Orthodox Church is a dominant force and has created a closed field to missions and is hostile to the believers. God brought us to Greece in 1995, praise the Lord, and there we began to evangelize and pass out tracts in our neighborhoods and in the squares and in Omonia in the center of the city. By God's help, we started a Bible study in our home, but we led our neighbors to the Lord. In 1996, God opened the door in Athens to rent a storefront a mile and a half from Mars Hill. In our first service, the Lord gave us 13 people, and slowly the Lord filled the place. What a joy to see people come out and hear the glorious gospel and get saved from the bondage of religion. My wife delights in doing Bible studies with the ladies and organizing the banquets and working in the children's ministry. God's word will not return void. What a joy to see people get saved and take a step of faith to be baptized in a land that is hostile to the gospel. Praise God, because every time we have baptisms, it turns out to be an open-air evangelism as people gather around, and I take the opportunity to preach the gospel. Through the preaching of God's word, we have seen people surrender to service. Taki surrendered and was ordained, and Zakindos Bible Baptist Church was started in his island. Pray for Vangeli, Izat, and Sadiq, and Costa, that God will raise these men to be used in the ministry. God gave us an opportunity to have Bible studies in the city of Corinth, and so Laki and his wife received the Lord. Lakis suddenly died at the age of 48, and the door of opportunity was closed. Please pray that the door in Corinth will open again. We're also privileged to have Pastor Switzer to come and organize Athens Baptist Bible Church in 2003. Praise the Lord. The highlight of this term was the Athens 2004 Olympics. Go Athens teams came and helped us distribute 500,000 tracts and Bibles. The seed has been sown. Let us fervently pray that the gospel tracts will bring us a harvest of souls for the glory of God and new churches to be planted. Thank you for sharing these minutes with us. Please pray for the people that God has given us to stay strong in the Lord. Also pray for us to be fervent witness for His glory. Today you have heard the Macedonian cry.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, open into the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 38. And I'm going to be talking about the harvest. And in order to understand the harvest, we're going to speak one of the Levitical holidays, which is known as Pentecost. But when I think of the harvest, as you're turning your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, I remember as a young boy growing up and seeing my mother and father tilling the ground and sowing the seed and doing all kinds of things, and then waiting and waiting and waiting for the time that springs out, you know, from the ground, and they get excited, and then it gets green, and then it gets big, and it gets yellow, and then we have the harvest time, and it was a time of rejoicing. Back then, they did not have the machinery that they do today, and families help families, you know, to harvest, you know, corn and wheat and whatever have you. And, you know, everything rises and falls on the harvest. A farm can only go as long without a harvest, you see. And somebody, an old saint, wrote this, and I love it. He said, "Show me a church without a harvest, and I will show you a church without joy." And Jesus spoke about the harvest. If you look with me in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, and it states, if you stand for the reading of God's word, then Lord, we do ask your richest blessings upon the pastor and his family and Brother Jim, Lord, and the church, Lord. And we thank you that they have a part in local evangelism, in starting churches here and around the world. And we give you the glory and the praise, my God, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. And Jesus said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then said he, meaning Jesus, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that you will send forth laborers into the harvest. And we thank the Lord for the reading of the word. You see, during the harvest is a busy time, is a time where people get involved and there is labor involved and there is sweat and tears, but there is also joy. And that reminds me of Psalm 126 that it states, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So therefore, just a few minutes, we would like to just delve into God's inerrant, infallible word and see what we can learn about, as much we can learn about the harvest, because truly the world has swelled up into over 7 billion people, and people need the Lord, and God is calling us in America and around the world to sow the good seed of the gospel. But to understand the harvest, and we have to look back and understand what is the feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament. Number one, if you turn with me in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 15, and we would like to see what is the Bible say about the feast of Pentecost, because there is a lot of misunderstandings today in the church age. And in verse 15 in Leviticus 23, we read, Leviticus 23 and verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. What basically saying here is, from one day after tomorrow, count 7 Sabbaths, and basically the Feast of Pentecost in Hebrew is called Shavuos, which means weeks. 7 weeks times 7 is 49, plus one day, it is 50th. So basically, that's where the Greek word comes in, Pentecosti, from the 50th. So basically, this holiday is called the 50th, or the Feast of Weeks, or the Day of Pentecost. But look with me in verse 22, if you will. In Leviticus 23 and verse 22. And now we will understand what is Pentecost and what it meant to be. And the Lord that reveals in verse 22, and it states, And when ye reap the harvest, you can underline that, of your land. So basically, the day of Pentecost, the 50th, or the Feast of the Weeks, it has to do with the harvest. It's not about a denomination and hanging from the chandeliers and doing all kind of utterances, but it has to do with a literal harvest. And it says here, it's about the harvest of your land. Thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field when you reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And we know the story of Ruth and Boaz. And basically, on this day, it was a day of thanksgiving. It was a day of rejoicing. It was a day where they came to worship God and to give him thanks because God has given them another plentiful harvest. And that was what it's all about. It was all about the sowing and the tilling and the planting. And now that they have harvested, they will go into the temple in the holy city of Jerusalem, and they will give thanksgiving to God for the harvest. For the harvest. So therefore, to understand the harvest, we go back where God has blessed. And many people today, they don't even realize the blessings of God. And especially in the Western world, the Europeans as well as in the Americas, the blessings of God. And to really stop and give thanks. And we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And U.S. must be about 300 and somewhat million. And I wonder, as we were in New York, how many Americans truly went down on the knees like our founding fathers and says, thank you, God, for blessing us with a harvest and so much in this great country. And I believe that's what made this country great, because they were giving thanksgiving to God. But we see a lot of deterioration, and we believe that, and we got to pray for this nation, because it's the last frontier of Christianity as we're going to evangelize the world. Now, before we go on the next point. The previous Levitical holiday was the Passover, you see. The Passover had to do with the lamb and the sacrifice, where they put the blood on the doorpost, and God led his people of Israel out with miracles and wonders to bring him into the Holy Land. And right after that comes the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. So we learn that Pentecost is all about the harvest, sowing and planting and reaping, and then going before the holy God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the plenteous. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for blessing us. Number two, on this day of Pentecost, known as the harvest, we learn that it represents the church age or the dispensation of grace, or the local and global evangelization as the Lord commanded us. Now, like we said in the Old Testament, before the people of Israel, as they celebrated Passover, and where they slew the lamb that had to be perfect without blemish and without a spot, and there the firstborn was spared because the blood was a token and a sign when the angel passed by. Then 50 days exactly, now 50 days exactly from the Passover until God gave the law on Mount Sinai, it was the Feast of Pentecost. So on the feast, on the 50th day after the Passover, God, with the miraculous thundering and lightning, appeared to Moses, and the law was given. So back when they exit from the land of Mitzrayim, which represents sin and bondage, and that they were freed and delivered by God to be brought into the Holy Land that raised with milk and honey. Now, exactly after the day of Passover, it represents the Lamb of God, as the Apostle Paul said, you know, Jesus is our Passover. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And as he died on the cross, and he took the crown of thorns that we may be crowned with glory in heaven, that we believe, he that was wounded for us that we may be healed, and rose again the third day to give us eternal life, right exactly from the day and the moment that Jesus died on the cross until the day of Pentecost, it took exactly 50 days. And again, the Spirit came with power as a rushing mighty wind, and there was cloven tongues as fire, if you will, representing the holiness of God, just like God appeared to Moses as the Mount Sinai trembled on the 50th day. And there, of course, just like Passover was fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, now how is the day of Pentecost fulfilled for us today? Well, the day of Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And there was a purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus came on this earth 2,000 years ago, and he died on the day of Passover to die for our sins as the Lamb of God, and he rose again to give us eternal redemption in heaven forever and ever, he promised that the Holy Spirit will come, and the church age begins, or the dispensation of grace, and this is the purpose. Look with me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and is Jesus' last words while he's on his earthly ministry, and he's giving the word to his disciples before he will ascend and go at the right hand of the Father. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4 we read, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they," meaning the church, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." Now, what is the promise that Jesus is talking about? He unveils in verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, what was the purpose that Jesus is saying to the church? Because they are frail. They know that he has commissioned them to go into the world. They know that he's about to go and be in heaven. And he knows the frailty because they're in the upper room. And he says the Holy Spirit of God will come. That is a promise on the 50th day. But what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Look with me in verse 8. Here's the purpose of the Holy Spirit during the dispensation of grace or church age. "But you will receive power." How? Because of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," local evangelism, "and in all Judea, and in Samaria," nationally, "and unto the uttermost parts of the earth," globally. So therefore the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "I have atoned for all the sins of the world. Now you are my disciples. You've got to take this message to the whole world that religion does not save, but religion enslaves. Jesus Christ saves, and it's the blood of Christ that will wash away all our sins. And now you got to take this message. And I know that you don't have the power, but on the 50th day, exactly after I have atoned for your sins, the Holy Spirit will come to give you power, not to be Pentecostal and not to be plain church, but to go out and sow the good seed of the gospel, because it is the power of the gospel unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also yours truly to the Greek." That was the purpose. And a lot of people miss it. And they try to work and make denominations out of it. And it's all about the church going out and sowing and planting and harvesting locally and globally. Now, not with wheat and corn, but pertaining to the souls of men. And that's what Jesus called, that they can be fishers of men. And did it happen? Did this promise took place? Look with me in Acts 2 and verse 41. We know the story where the apostle Peter stood and he rose to the occasion and he began to preach to the crowds. All of a sudden he had the boldness and the power of God, telling them that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that you rejected and you crucified. And now they heard the message, and it says in verse 41, in Acts 2 and verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. "Then they that gladly receive his word," Peter, when he preached, "were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the day of Pentecost, the 50th, it's all about harvest, locally with churches and globally through missions around the world. And Jesus, before he went, he says, "I have atoned. I'm the Lamb of God. And now the Holy Spirit will come. Do not be afraid. 15 days from now, don't depart from Jerusalem." And they went out and they preached the word, as 17 nationalities from the European continent and Africa and Asia, Jews and Gentiles, they have gathered because of the celebration of the Levitical holiday. And right on the day, they are preaching, and the harvest began with 3,000 souls that they came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a harvest. What a time. What a rejoicing. What a mission the church has. The mission of the church is to evangelize locally and globally around the world. And number three, and in closing, we all can have a part in that, you see. Every born-again child of God can have a part in this. Because Jesus says, you all must be a witness. A witness is one that reveals, one that unveils, one that shares the word of the Lord. That testifies. And God wants out of every born-again child of God that has been born again and he's been washed with the blood of Jesus and has the Holy Spirit in him to testify before our families, as before we were praying, and families and children, and our neighbors and our friends, and give a testimony of the gospel of Christ. The world that we're living around has no hope. You listen to the news and you could quickly get depressed. All over the world, it's bad things happening. People killing each other and greed, the economy. And then you have all the phenomena that takes place as a signs in the end times. The tsunami and all the shaking up of the nations in the Islamic world. But we have the hope and we're going to be a witness because we're living in the last days and the harvest is ready. So therefore, we can all have a time in this harvest. And I will ask you this night. Have you been sowing the good seed? Have you been planting? Have you been sharing? Have you been inviting people to church? We have to know that the time is short. And we are in the dispensation of grace, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Israel in 1948 pops up into the scene. And while this is the dispensation of the church age, it was the dispersion of the Jews all over the world. See, when the church age began with Pentecost, a little bit after that, in about 70 AD, the Jews were dispersed all over the world. And then all of a sudden, we find them coming back into the land. And Jesus says, when you see the fig tree bud, behold, I'm at the door. We're coming close to the church age. The curtain of grace, one of these days, will close. And there will be a shout. And there will be a trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And we shall be caught and forever be with the Lord. And we can see the signs of the times before us. And the harvest age is about to be done. So we can go before the Holy of Holies, and praise God for every soul and our salvation that He has given us. Knowing that, we've got to stop playing church, and we have to have a holy zeal. We have to have fervency, urgency, passion, like the first church in Jerusalem. They were weak, they were frail, they were afraid, but they got serious with God, and by the time you hit Acts 16, they had turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. They were willing to give themselves to the last dying breath. And we have that evidence today even in Greece, where if you do visit, where you saw Andrew the Apostle, his remains, his bones, they found the tomb, the archaeologist, they traced it and they looked and they searched and they found an old wooden cross in an X shape, like an X. Not the whole thing because it had deteriorated, but he was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ. And when they, this only historically speaking, because I was not there and we don't know how true it may be because it's not written in the Word of God. They tried to get Andrew down. After 3 days, he was not dying. And the Roman says, well, we've got to spare this man. He must be a holy man. And he goes, no, my mission is done. I'm ready to go to my Heavenly Father. But they were willing to give the last breath for the cause of Christ. I believe it's time for revival. I believe it's time for harvest. And the devil will come and play with your mind. If you're going to speak to this guy, or if you're going to go to the supermarket, or whatever we deal with people, the devil comes and throws those fiery arrows and say, well, if you're going to say anything, they're going to get offended. Yeah. Hey, how can they offend it? We have a message that it's free. The message is wonderful. God can change your life. He can take your problems. He can give you answers. He can take your sins and clothe you with the robe of righteousness. He can take you from being destined to hell and bring you to heaven. He can go from a sinner to a saint all for free if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, it works. I'm a testimony. Someday they will thank us. But that's how the devil operates. If you say they're going to get offended. Well, that is not a big offense, and sometimes we have to offend people in a loving way. But once they come to know Christ, they're going to say, thank you. Thank you that you bore my attitude and you were able to bypass the words that I said, but you kept on coming and smiling and inviting me to church and giving me a gospel tract. Someday they will thank you. We've seen that happen again and again and again and again. And God is good. I believe that we have to have a passion like Esther. If I perish, I perish. Yes. And Nehemiah heard the word and he wept and he cried and he fasted for days. I got to go to Jerusalem and rebuild. And there we have Isaiah, where you saw the holiness of God. And he says, who will go for us? And Isaiah goes, I will go. I'm ready to go. I want to be in your service, oh God. I love you. And the Apostle Paul, who was persecuting the church on the road of Damascus, he fell down as being dead. When you saw the heavenly vision, and therefore you encountered Jesus, he says, here I am, Lord, use me. What would you want me to do? And I hope that every born again child of God will say, here I am, Lord, use me. Let me do prayer walks around my neighborhood before the cults and the cultic evil web will go into their homes and take them away and make them to us, children of hell. Pray for them. Pray for people. Pray for neighbors. Be a testimony. Smile. The world is psychologically down and depending on things and on pills. But we have a message that lifts and gives you a new fervency. And it gives you the God to live within you. And that you are filled with the Spirit and you become a new creation. And our message really reflects the light of the gospel of Jesus. I believe there is two ways that we can reach the world. And that is locally, all of us being involved in a local church about the things of God. And not just to wait only on Sunday. See, the apostles that went and the early church, they went about the Lord's business every day. Amen. Being a witness and sharing the message at work, in school, wherever you are. You are the light. You are the missionary in that area. And where you are, you can reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you evangelize locally, at the same time you give and you sow the good seed of the gospel, that it will be planted elsewhere around the world. And what a blessing. So therefore, we are the source. Praise the Lord. And praise God that He has allowed us the blessing. It's not a burden. And He don't want your ability. He wants our availability. Here I am, Lord. It's not a burden. It's a blessing to share the message and someone to repent, that the whole family to come to know Christ and come to church.
That's right.
It's a blessing, and God has permitted us to be a blessing to others and bring glory to His name by sowing the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we're all sowers in this great harvest time as we see it coming to a close. So as we sowing the good seed that we plant, at the same time we give by way of our offerings, so the seed of the gospel will go overseas in many nations that they have no light. And when the missionary goes, he goes with the light, then the blessings come. And now we are experiencing a harvest in Greece. And you have a part in that. You have a part in that Arabic ministry. You have a part in that Arabic minister, Izzat, who in 1972, he fought with the Egyptian army as one-star general. He fought Israel in the Yom Kippur War. And he goes to me, buddy, I don't know what happened. We were gaining land, we were shooting and shouting Arabic. And the next thing we know, Israel woke up out of that holiday and encircled them. And he was 6 months a prisoner of war, comes to Greece, hears the gospel, gets saved. And now he prays for the peace of Jerusalem. He prays for the Jews. And he prays that they will acknowledge their Messiah, loves America, and now he teaches Arabs about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a part in that. We have the Iranians where they are threatening the world. We're going to kill Israel. We're going to destroy the white devil in America. You know what? He ain't going to do nothing. Because God is in control. Praise the Lord. And when the Iranians come out of that country, it is the fastest race in coming to know Christ. And they're aware of that. That's why they have even spies where we work. We know we have spies. And once they identify, we try to do, baptisms kind of restricted. But sometimes you don't know who's there because they may act like the most spiritual. And he can be a spy. Yes. They're not in danger in my country or in Europe. But what they do is they find out who they are. And they go right in Iran. They find their parents. They put them in prison. They cut their paychecks, salaries. And sometimes they kill them. And they say, well, accidentally, this man was killed by a car, you know. But you know something? You have a part in that harvest.
Yes.
Well, you have a part in Paris, where a church now is growing with dynamics. And a pastor is there. You have a part in this harvest in Vancouver. And perhaps now we're going to have something happening in Vienna, because there's a group that come get saved in Greece and they move around because they cannot stay in Greece. Greece is sinking, cannot help anybody. But even though that they are drowning financially, they still give them all they can as far as medical attention and whatever they can. You know, and God will bless them for that. But they're going to different countries, and once we find out where they are, then we're able to send Pastor Yusefi and others that they may be able to start Bible studies, and you have a part in that. You see, the harvest is all about sowing the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to believe, because we are living testimonies that we heard the gospel and we became a new creation in Jesus Christ. And we are so happy. We see where the world is going, but we know where we're going, you see. And because of your giving and because of your love and your presence, I share that with Brother Jim. We had a young man, his name was Mohammed from Morocco. And I'm closing with this. And I hope this will be turned to be a blessing to you because of your giving and your prayers. This guy was trained to be a terrorist because his family is very wealthy and they are heading the biggest Islamic training institution in Morocco in training Islamic leaders from all over the world. When we talk, this man knew the Quran. He knew the Quran because a lot of Muslims, they just listen to their mullahs, the leaders, and they go out there, but they don't know much of their book, just the tenets of faith, and that's about the size of it. This guy knew every page of the Quran because that's all they did 24/7 for years and years. He wrote a book, How Christianity Will Spend an Eternity in Hell. But somebody challenged him to read the Gospel of John. And when he started feeling some kind of things happening in his life, he got terrified and he left Morocco, comes to Greece. And in a small little Sunday school, one day I told him, Mohammed, if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? And he was not sure of where he would spend eternity. With all his religion beliefs and all this massive knowledge that he had of Islam. So he bowed his knees. Yes. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And for Muhammad, he became John. He was trained to kill Christians. He never had the opportunity because he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus has power. The gospel has power. So the good seed, it has power. We had a track and someone stumbled over it because she got angry. We evangelized. Somebody else picked that up and he got saved. The gospel has power. Yeah. And we ought to be sowing. Whatever you go and say, God bless you if you don't want to say much words. And believe me, you can be a blessing. You can have a part in this great harvest in Jesus' name here and around the world. We love you and we thank you what you do for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. And God, we pray that you will bless this church abundantly where they can reach out, Lord, and many, many lost, even right now, wherever they may be, they can hear the message of Jesus that saves and they can come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother Jim that has been a friend and thank you for the pastor and thank you for the church family. And Lord, we give you all the glory and praise that we are saved. Glory and praise to your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, thank you. Thank you.
Have you enjoyed the word tonight?
Amen.
It's wonderful. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, yes. Amen. And the Lord is counting on us to be the seed sowers. And I was thinking while he was preaching, I'm thankful for people in years gone by that took the time to sow some seeds. And I am now one of those that's in the harvest because of that seed that was sown by our forefathers. I thank God for Brother George and his wife. She's back there. She is. She moved on me. And for what they're doing across the sea. Thank God that there's folks that's sowing the seed around the world, that people can get right because the harvest is coming. The end time. He says it in the book of Revelations. And he said he told them to thrust in the sickle. For the time of harvest has come. And they were gathered up. And we were pressed. And folks, only those that have been sown and harvested by the Lord Jesus Christ is those that will make it. The devil's got a bunch of tares in the field. And I was thinking that as you said that about those spies that are there. Lord, have mercy on them and on your church. Because many of us today don't realize what a privilege it is to go to church. And not have to worry about, is there a spy in the midst of the congregation? It may come to that before Christ comes. We don't know. But I'm thankful today that we have the freedom to worship in the house of God. I appreciate this message tonight by our brother. Appreciate each and every one of you coming out and be with us. Brother Rob, Sister Sharon, if you would get us a song at this time for the closing. It wouldn't be right not to close a service without getting an invitation, because folks may be here that have had the seed sown in their life. And I've noticed this in recent weeks and months. How many of you have ever went out and sown some grass seed? Then this message relates with you tonight. What I'm about to say will relate as well. Some of it comes up real quick. And then you'll see some of it that's like lagging behind. And just about the time, Jim, that I'm about to give up on it, I see a little sprout coming. Amen. Some of us have given up on some of the seed that's been sown by us and by others in our people's lives. But folks, don't give up, because the hour that you think not, that seed may just open up and bring forth life. The Bible says that a seed cannot bring forth life until it first dies. So just keep hoping, keep praying, and keep trusting in the Lord. And tonight, if you're one of those that is ready for the harvest, you've had the seed sown in your life and you've never acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. We invite you to come. Do like that Muhammad that he made mention of. Don't trust in religion. Don't trust in church membership. But trust in knowing Jesus Christ as your own Savior while they sing. Would you do that tonight? If you don't know Him, now's a good time to surrender your life and will into the hands of a mighty God. The seed is there. The Word is in your heart and in your life. But you need to allow the Word to become more than just a word. Let it become your life by accepting the Lord as your Savior. Would you come home tonight? Come home to the Lord. Make all things new in your life and in the life of your loved ones if you'll trust Him. Anybody else tonight? To bring your loved ones, that God would soften their hearts so that seed can bring forth the fruit. Anyone else tonight? Oh, sinner, come home. Go to that last verse, if you would, Rob, and sing that for us tonight. Yes. He promised it to us. And He's not just promised, but He's delivered over and over and over again to those that will believe upon His name. Yes. Pardon for you and for me. Allow the Lord to work that great work in your life. Yes. Amen and amen. We are so thankful to be here tonight and to have Brother George and his family with us, his wife, to share in what their work is over in the missionary fields. But everywhere, no matter where you live at, we need to be a missionary. We can be a missionary to those that we live around, those that we work with. those that we come in contact with. You remember a few weeks ago, Becky and I went to that wedding reception. And I shared with the church here, I got the phone call, and they asked me, and this is a guy I used to work with, he asked me if I would do the prayer, leading the prayer at the reception for his daughter's wedding. And I thought it was such a great honor, Sister Carlene, because they're Catholic. And to have a Baptist minister to come and offer a word of prayer. And while we was there, I got to talk to his brother. And I told him, I said, you've been telling me for a long time that you're going to come visit us at church. He said, do you have some electrical work that needs to be done? Because he's an electrician. I said, no, now. I said, you told me he's going to come and be with us in a service. He said, and I am. He said, I will. He said, you send me an email to remind me. And he says, I'll come on a Sunday morning. He said, what time do you start? I said, service starts 11 o'clock. He said, you get out by 12? I said, usually it's a little bit after 12, but a little bit after 12. And he said, I'll come. I said, well, will you bring Jim? He said, yeah, if I come, I'll bring Jimmy. That's the guy we used to work with. And he says, I'll just get a whole bunch of us up. We'll just come out there and be in church with you. So you don't have to be in a foreign land to be a missionary. You can be a missionary by sowing seed and never giving up on that seed, bringing forth some fruit. But remember this, it's not our seed. It's His seed. Amen. And it's not our harvest, but it's His harvest. We're just workers in the field. God bless you tonight. I pray that you enjoyed yourself in the house of the Lord on a rainy Sunday evening.
Amen.
But I've enjoyed being here. Enjoy the second time that Brother George has been here, if I recall correctly. And every time he's here, I learn something about the history that goes back. And that brings the Bible more vividly. It just jumps off the page when he mentions some of this stuff about the history that's in our word that we have tonight. So I'm thankful that he was here and his wife. Also for Brother Don, oh, back there on the back pew. You're in a strange pew for a pastor. And I say that, I can joke with Brother Don. We've become good friends over the years. But every once in a while, even the pastor, I guess, needs to sit on the back pew. I don't think I'll try it anytime soon, but it does sound interesting. But it's good to have you, Michelle, with us. We've prayed for you and your church. We pray for you in your time of sickness. God would just bless them. And you pray for us. This is not about competition against church against church. This is about taking souls out of hell and destruction and giving them life eternal in heaven above. That's the only kind of competition that we have tonight amongst us. You have a great week. Enjoy the blessings that God has given to you. And don't allow the world to get you down. Remember, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still in control. And regardless of what the devil says, he's a liar and the father of it. You keep trusting in God, and God will deliver again and again and again. Have a great week. Let's go pray and come back praying at the next appointed time. See you on Wednesday night. And soon we've got Christmas caroling coming up to those that are sick and shut in. And Edwina, I don't know if she talked to you, but she wants to get the carolers to come over to the home there where she's at. So if you have a family that would like to have the carolers come by and sing some songs of Christmas to them, please let Rob and Sharon know about it. And not only do they sing songs, but they give them a little fruit basket to help them enjoy the Christmas season. So keep that in mind, and if somebody comes across your heart, make sure that you let them know that this evening. Let's go pray and come praying. God bless you tonight.